Mojo.com with myself. I'm Jared Jesselaitis. I got Kyle Charters by my side, as always.
Good morning, sir. A great Monday we're having today. What a great day in sports. Weekend in sports was excellent.
Is that how you address people? Good morning, sir. What a great day we're having today.
Jolly good day.
Give me a top hat and a monocle while we're at it. All right, let's...
Can we do that? Could you do that for me?
We'll get you the official licensed hammer, like, top hat and monocle.
That'd be great.
We can do that. Okay, here's the deal. Why don't we head on over to the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline, and we are going to talk to our good old buddy, Mike DeFabo, who is on with us. And you know Mike writes for CNHI's 13 Indiana Papers for Purdue, and always asks the best questions at the press conference, so we welcome him in. And good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing great. By the way, I spent a good half hour debating with Mike about Le'Veon Bell last night, as we're both Western PA guys. He's very excited to see him go, aren't you?
I don't know, man. I don't get it. As I said to you, there are some veteran running backs who would be willing to play for a 13-3 team for the veteran minimum, and the Steelers are trying to make him the highest paid running back this year, and he won't do it. He'd rather jet ski. So that's all I'll say about it. I don't want this to go too far down the Le'Veon Bell rabbit hole, so that's all I'll say about it.
He was very passionate. I'll show you the text message thread. Yeah. He was very passionate about it, about last night. And then he told me that nobody's going to take him. And I said, listen, if the Colts can take Trent Richardson from the Browns, there's a deal to be made here. Okay.
Some hot takes via text message.
Yeah,
that's good.
Exactly. Usually right. Mike's asking for the hot takes. People don't know he has really hot takes. You may not know about that.
I do. If you're texting me, make sure you use oven mitts to handle your cell phone. Don't get burned.
Thing almost exploded. So, all right, let's start with the only controversial thing that Purdue fans are willing to talk about from Saturday's game. Rondale Moore, was he down? What do you think?
The ref said no, so I say no too. I mean, I don't know. I think it was a situation where they went to replay and it wasn't conclusive, so they let the play on the field stand. I don't know whether his knee was down or not. If you ask him, he said his knee wasn't down. What I said about it was, I mean, we all saw those videos of him squatting 600 pounds. I guess that defensive back didn't see those videos because it was kind of like a little bit of a lunge, I guess, one-legged. But it just showed the kind of the electricity of Rondale Moore. He could take a play that was a 5-yard gain, and next thing you know, it's a 70-yard touchdown. That's just a little taste of what he's done this season for Purdue. And I mean, he just continues to amaze me. And it's remarkable to think that it's his fourth football game of his college football career. And already, I mean, he has 300-plus yard performances. He already has the school record for all-purpose yards in the game. It's just another case of him doing stuff that you can't believe.
Mike, what is your hot take about Nick Holt and the defensive scheme he put on the field on Saturday?
I mean, it was like, what is this, the defense from last year? Like, where did it come from kind of thing? I mean, yeah. All the adjectives that we would use to describe Purdue's defense through the first three games, I'm sure that not very many of them would be positive. Yet after the fourth game, Jeff Braun was calling Purdue's defense lights out. It was really remarkable. And I think it was kind of a combination of a couple things. Number one, it was just scheme because Nick Holt has built his entire defense upon stopping the run. And then you bring in a powerful rushing team that kind of looks like a Big Ten team, and it did exactly that. It did stop the run. I thought that, you know, based on the scheme, I thought that Purdue could have some success. But what I didn't know was if they would have as much success with the amount of youth that Purdue had on defense and just the quality of runner that A.J. Dillon was. I mean, people were talking about A.J. Dillon as a Heisman contender. And at the end of the game, I was saying, well, what number was he again? Because he was, like, so unremarkable. And it was amazing that it worked out so well. So I think now the challenge for Purdue, for its defense, is to prove that this was more than just kind of like a good matchup for them, that this was really a step in the right direction and that they can continue to play this type of defense against a variety of different offenses.
We're talking with Mike DeFabo on the Wings Etc. Hammerhead Hotline. Mike, you talk about that defense keeping it going. Pretty decent matchup against the Nebraska Cornhuskers this week on the road. Scott Frost saying that this was a, quote, winnable game for Nebraska, who remains winless. Purdue opens up a 3-point favorite in this one on the road. Are you a little bit surprised by that?
Well, it's surprising when you look at, I mean, Purdue, a week ago you would have said, I don't expect Purdue to be favored in really any games, you know, after the ways in which they lost and then to start the season 0-3. But I do think that Purdue is the better team, and I can see why that they're the favorite. I mean, if you look at the quality of opponents that Purdue played to really battle a really good Mizzou offense and keep pace with them and kind of stand toe-to-toe with them, and then to barely lose to Northwestern, even though Northwestern's not having a season at once. And then the Eastern Michigan loss, I think a lot of that had to do with weather conditions and kind of breaks that didn't go Purdue's way. So I do think that Purdue is the better team, especially considering Nebraska is winless. But the funny thing is, you know, this week Purdue came up with a win. Purdue was the winless football team that was the home underdog, and they come up with the upset. Now they go to Nebraska. Nebraska is the winless football team, is the home underdog. So basically Purdue is going to have to try to make sure that the same thing that they did doesn't happen to them.
David Blau has been really good in the last couple of weeks. I think clearly, Mike, he is Purdue's starter at this point. How good has he been? I mean, he's really operating at a pretty high level right now.
Well, I think the key was bringing his grandma to the games. So apparently his grandmother, Grandma Faye Blau, she hadn't seen him play live since high school. And so they kind of targeted the Mizzou game, and they thought, okay, this will be a good one that Grandma Faye could come to. And they didn't even know at that time if David was going to play or if he was going to start. Then Elijah Sindelar goes down midweek with an injury. David starts, sets a record with 500 and a million passing yards. I think it was 572 passing yards. He follows it up this week with nearly 300 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. So, I mean, he's playing some of the best football of his career. I think it really kind of just goes back to some of the things we've talked about before, that for Purdue to win football games, the quarterback is not the biggest question. I think that both quarterbacks can win you football games. It's really the guys around Purdue, and it's about the guy, whoever's under center, protecting the football and playing to his ability. But, I mean, it's a great story for David. I mean, to be named basically the backup to start the year, and to come back to Purdue when a lot of other graduate guys would have easily just transferred and gone to a place where he could guarantee starting time. He wanted to come back to Purdue. He wanted to make this senior year special. It's not quite the storybook ending because they're still 1-3, but just to have the type of performances he had back-to-back is really nice for David.
We're talking with Mike DeFabo on the Wings at Saturday Hammerhead Hotline. Last week, those quarterbacks, Mike, really took a beating. A lot of speed out of those Missouri receivers. This week, they turn around. They get themselves 4 INTs in this one. I think Kenneth Major is really starting to develop into a nice piece for Nick Holt's secondary. What's turning around for them? Is it just like the mixing up of who's going where? Why is the secondary having so much success all of a sudden?
Well, I think this most recent game, a lot of it was matchup. I mean, Anthony Brown, the quarterback for Boston College, entered the game as FBS most efficient passer. He had 9 touchdowns and 0 interceptions, and he had the highest completion percentage in FBS football. But as we learned in that game, it seemed like those stats were artificially inflated by the running game. And so by stopping the run, then you took a guy, a quarterback that wants to just operate with play action, take the safe play, be a game manager. You made him go out there and win the football game. And he clearly showed that even though he had this great completion percentage, he was not Drew Lock. So I think a lot of it was that. I think a lot of it started with the other guys. You know, the front 7 playing so much better helped the guys on the back end a little bit. The other thing is they have made changes, as you alluded to. Kim Kaysen had started for Purdue at corner. He's a fifth-year senior, and Purdue instead went with redshirt freshman Kenneth Major, and as you mentioned, he came up with the second interception of the season. And I really like him, especially in that game, because not only the way that he defended the pass, but also the run support that he had, because he's the more physical of the most physical of the four cornerbacks, I would say. And against especially a power running team like Boston College that lines up in a whole bunch of those two tight end, two running back formations and the unbalanced formations, he was drawn into the box a lot and asked to help out and put his head in there, and he wasn't afraid to do it. So I think it's definitely a positive sign for this young guy where, you know, playing in his, just making his second career start, he already has two interceptions. So seems like he could have a nice future.
Seems like Nick Holt probably wants him to keep his helmet on after his interceptions, though, I would say, pretty clearly.
Oh, yes. That's the big thing. I mean, that's funny, too, because for as many dumb penalties that have hurt Purdue, it's amazing that some of that stuff keeps happening.
Yeah, because he could be penalized for that. 2 weeks in a row now, he's taken his helmet off before he has gotten to the sideline. This last week, Nick Holt lit into him. Presumably, I mean, he played that ball well and got the interception, presumably, for taking his helmet off. I would imagine is why Purdue's DC was pretty upset. Mike, I had Purdue winning this game. My reasoning was that Purdue would win because of its special teams. I thought the Boilermakers had a huge advantage there. As it turns out, I was completely wrong about that. Purdue won in spite of its special teams. Any concern going forward there? I felt like a lot of it was due to Spencer Evans was pretty clearly not feeling very well on Saturday, so that probably contributed a little bit to the kickoff issues and the missed extra points. But Purdue's special teams has sort of just been pedestrian through the first four games. Are there concerns there for you, or can Purdue get those things straightened out going forward?
Well, what I would do to straighten it out is I would bring a Chick-fil-A to West Lafayette. As you guys don't know, Tony Levine, the former special teams coach, he left to go open up a Chick-fil-A, and obviously it was also to spend more time with his family. So, but I don't know. I think that the special teams are a bit of a concern for Purdue. I thought the same thing, that they won in spite of their special teams. And as you kind of alluded to, Boston College, I think, had three punts blocked in return for touchdown. They also had a muffed kick or punt by their return man. So they were a special teams unit that was not performing very well. And Purdue really, I thought, struggled, especially in kickoff coverage and kick return coverage. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the answers are. I mean, I think part of it is when you're special teams is often a sign of depth, because what you have is a whole bunch of backups and third team guys playing special teams. So if you're a team like Purdue that doesn't have a whole lot of depth, there's a big drop off between your ones and your twos. So the opponent's twos might be that much better. But they've got to come up with something, and whether that is making sure that Spencer Evans drinks his emergency so that he can kick the ball through the back of the end zone, or whether that's spending a little extra time this week, I think that it is a big issue, because they giving the up returns to the 40 every time is not going to win you many football games. No.
Mike DeFabo, you know that he writes for the 13 CNHI's Indiana papers, but you may also know, just because he knows all this Purdue stuff, knows nothing about IU football, apparently, because he does not know the difference between the quarterback and the Walmart yodeling kid. That's what Twitter revealed to me over the weekend. Which one's which again? Do you remember?
Peyton Ramsey, IU quarterback Mason Ramsey, is the Walmart yodeler. But wouldn't it be fun if the Walmart yodeler was the quarterback for IU?
You know what?
That
would be fun.
I have a Walmart yodeler story. During a baseball trip, I was in an airport with the baseball team. I don't know where we were traveling to, maybe out to Omaha, perhaps.
You ran into the kid?
I ran into the kid in the men's room. I'm like, who is the...
I love it.
I'm like, who is the kid with the cowboy hat walking in as I'm walking out to the facility? And you don't see a 10-year-old or however he is wearing the cowboy hat very often.
The people you run into in the bathroom stories are fantastic.
So then a couple of the players then did actually see him and get their picture taken with him as we were waiting on our flight, and he was too, apparently.
Ridiculous. All right.
I love it.
Yeah.
Mike, hey, thank you so much for being on with us, buddy. Go back to bed, all right?
All right. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care, Mike.